First reading comes from Romans chapter 13, verse 11 to the end. And the author has been writing about living as a responsible citizen and how love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the Gospel of the Lord according to Matthew. The reading is from Matthew 24, verses 36 to 44. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in a field, one will be taken, and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken, the other left. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let him in his house to be broken into. So you must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Let's just pray. Father, as we come to share your word this morning, we pray that our hearts will be open to hear from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're at the start of Advent, that 4 weeks running up to the coming of Jesus, when we celebrate that coming of Jesus. But of course, there is a two-edged feel to Advent. Yes, we prepare to celebrate for Jesus' first coming. But as those two readings reminded us this morning, Jesus will come again. So the other focus at Advent is preparing ourselves for that great event. We are living in the last days, the days between Jesus, when Jesus came the first time, and when Jesus will come again. So I think the question our passage poses this morning is this: are we ready for the day when Jesus returns? In the passage from Matthew, Jesus spoke about Noah and how the people ignored the warning of the flood, the coming flood, and they perished. He also talked about a thief coming into your home unexpectedly, just when you felt secure. Or people's lives being turned upside down. Two men in a field working, one taken, one left. Two women milling, one taken, one left. A driver in America took this passage to heart. He had a warning on the back of his car. Warning, when the Lord comes, this car will go driverless. He had a confidence, didn't he? The point Jesus is making is there will be no point when he returns. It'll just be like any other day. We'll be doing what we normally do. Shopping, gardening, having a meal, Max having a round of golf, whatever. But there will be separation. Perhaps the reason we need to be reminded of these warnings as we come into this time of Advent is to stop us blending in with the razzmatazz of Christmas, getting caught up in the material, forgetting the spiritual, the eternal. So as we look at living in these last days, three words, 3 points to help us reflect during Advent. Last days and relationship, last days and lifestyle, and last days and motivation. Relationship. I wonder how often we, you, I, think about Jesus coming again. We know when Christmas is coming, that's fixed. That's sort of comforting. But Jesus coming again, I think that's very different. We can't plan. Every day we live could be the day when he returns. As Jesus pointed out in that passage we had from Matthew, we need to be ready, for the Son of Man will come at an hour you do not expect. How can we be ready? Well, I think relationship is a key point, because Paul, in our passage, tells us to clothe ourselves, get ready by clothing ourselves with the body of Jesus. To clothe ourselves with Jesus. This has two implications. The first one is about relationship. The second one I'll come to later. Being in relationship with Jesus is key to his coming back. Will it be a time of rejoicing or a time of great shock? Meeting Jesus should be a time of rejoicing. But that begs the question, have we responded to those words of Jesus, which John captures? For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. Remember Noah? But have eternal life. Or as John records again in the book of Revelation, more words of Jesus. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens that door, I will come in and eat with that person. Here is that invitation to relationship, opening the door of our lives to Jesus. And we need to be in that relationship. If meeting Jesus means we have nothing to fear, but something we actually look forward to. Yes, I know there are times we doubt, the times we drift away, and there's times we mess up. I do that, and I'm sure we all do. But be encouraged by these words of Jesus to his followers. I will give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them from my hand. So this Advent, let us reflect on our relationship with Jesus. Do we have one? Do we need to renew that relationship? Do we need to deepen that relationship? Second point, lifestyle. Paul in Romans reminds us about the lives we should be living in the last days. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. It's very easy to become complacent. Jesus hasn't come yet. It's 2,000 years since Paul wrote those words, so what's the rush? Remember, God's time and our time are very different. Peter writes in one of his letters, "With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. So let us just reflect this Advent, whether we are living a lifestyle that Jesus asks us to live. The second implication of that picture of being clothed with Jesus is becoming Christ-like in our daily lives. Being called into relationship with Jesus is not a call to do nothing. It's a call to be transformed. As Paul writes in Romans, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God. We open ourselves to being filled and transformed by the Spirit dwelling in us and by being soaked in the Word of God. As Paul advised Timothy, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We know good works do not bring salvation. That is through that relationship, that faith in Jesus our Saviour. But salvation should lead to good works. As Paul said to the Galatians, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Doing good in Jesus' name is different than just doing good. It introduces others, allows them to experience the love Jesus has for them. Stepping stones to faith. We are called to live that life of serving others, showing God's love and compassion to those around us. So again, at Advent, let us reflect if our lifestyle touches people's lives with the love of Jesus, by who we are, by what we say, by what we do. Finally, motivation. I wonder what would happen if the health and safety executive decided that Christmas was now too dangerous. Far too many people gathering at the same place at the same time. So from next year, Christmas would be on a different day to be decided by them, giving us 2 days' notice. That is not a prophetic message I've had this morning. Let me just say that. But what would you actually do if you had just 2 days to prepare for Christmas? What would your priorities be? What must I do in the time I've got left before Christmas, 2 days, to be ready? What would happen if the Lord gave us 2 days' notice that he was actually coming? What would you do then in those 2 days? What would your priorities be? Would you want to warn others that Jesus was actually coming? We all find it difficult, don't we, to share our faith. But if we have a deadline, I bet we wouldn't be so cautious. We might just do it. You see, having a deadline does focus the mind. These passages don't actually give us a deadline. But what they do give us is a clear warning and a sense of urgency. Paul writes, wake up from your slumber. Jesus, keep watch, for you do not know the day the Lord will come. People on watch do not sleep. We need to be alert and have the same priorities and urgency and motivation as if we did have a deadline, because Jesus coming a second time has eternal implications. To be with Jesus in God's new creation, marvelous, wonderful that is, or not. That's the choice. There will be a separation. So let us rejoice and celebrate this Advent at Jesus' first coming. But also let us reflect seriously on his second coming, when he comes in glory to renew all things. Do we want to be part of that? So let us reflect on our relationship, on our lifestyle, and our motivation. Because as I said at the beginning, the question for this morning is this: are we ready for the day when Jesus comes again? Amen.